Meeting of our Hawaii Island Borough Council. Today is Thursday, September 16th, 2021. And again, mahalo everybody for being here. Truly appreciate it. Before we start, I will ask the ancestors for some guidance today. So hopefully everything goes well. If you do know this blessing, then please join in. If not, aole pilikia. Nau ma kua mai kala hiki a kala kau mai ka hoku i a ka halawai. Nau ma kua mai ka iki alua mai ka galo mai ka kau i kalani. O ki ha i kalani, o e i kalani, nunulu i kalani, ka holo i kalani. E ia nā pula pula o ko e nā kanake malama na iyo nā kupuna o Hawaii nei. E malama o ko ia mā ko. E ulu i kalani, e ulu i ka honua, e ulu i ka pai aina o Hawaii. E ho mai ka ike, e ho mai ka ikaika. E ho mai ke akamai, e ho mai ke maopopopono, e ho mai ke ike pāpālua, e ho mai ke mana. Āmama ua noa. Aloha mai. So we will have our roll call right now, and if all council members can at least mention their names and what district they represent, it'd be greatly appreciated. I will start. My name is Nalei Kaakalau, and I represent the district of Hamakua.
Aola Higa, Hamakua.
Clifford Capono, Hilo.
Lana Blakemore, a large landowner for Puna.
Scott Mahoney, Kau.
Mark Rivello, large landowner.
All members of State Historic Preservation Division, if you can let us know who you are. It'd be nice to see your faces too, aloialo, face to face. To see a black screen, that'd be appreciated. Mahalo nui.
Kiel, burial site specialist, and Chris is present here too.
Come on, Chris. Aloha, aloha mai.
Chris, burial site specialist.
Thank you. Aloha, Chris. Aloha, Jordan.
Aloha, kako. Kaahiki Solis, cultural historian. Mahalo.
Aloha, kaahiki. Aloha mai.
Mahalo.
Inanna Rodriguez, State Historic Preservation Division.
Aloha, aloha. Aloha, Inanna. Aloha, aloha, mai.
Hi.
Tamara?
Aloha, kako. Good morning, everyone. Tamara Luthi, Ship the Ethnographer. Thank you for having me.
Mahalo, aloha, mai. Aloha. Aloha. Kupua, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Aloha nui kako oba upua. I'm the post GED legal fellow at SHPTI.
No, me. Leslie Alkia chatting. Aloha mai, Leslie Alkia, Burial Site Specialist Oahu. Like that, you know? Kiare?
Aloha kako, everybody. My name is Tiare. I'm the office assistant for the Big Island SHPTI office.
Okay, no, aloha mai, Piari, mai kai, no. And of course, from the Attorney General's office, if you can introduce yourself, please.
Good morning, Cindy Young, Deputy AG.
Okay, mahalo nui, folks, everybody, for being here. So we're going to go into our first agenda item on the agenda. It's approval of minutes for July 15, 2021. And we have 2 minutes to approve, the one for July and for August, and then we'll actually be getting into our business, the training session, yeah? So the first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for July 15, 2021.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the July minutes.
Okay, there's been a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. A motion has been made and seconded that we approve the minutes for July 15, 2021. Is there any discussion? A discussion on those minutes, folks. No discussion. Okay, there's no discussion on a call for the vote. All those in favor of accepting the approval of the minutes for July 15, 2021, please say so by aye or hapai kolima. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Okay, the motion is carried. So the minutes have been approved for July 15, 2021. Now we're going to go into the minutes of, to approve approval of the minutes for August 19, 2021, which was last month's meeting.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the August minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so motion has been made and seconded that we approve the minutes for August 19th, 2021. Is there any discussion on the motion? Ready? Okay, if there are none, then I will call for the vote. All those in favor of approval of the minutes for August 19th, 2021, please stipulate by saying aye or hapai kolima.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Okay, the motion is carried. So the minutes for August 19th, 2021 have been approved by this council today on September 16th, 2021. Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate that. Now we're going to go into our business section of our agenda for today. And of course, there's one primary item on the agenda for today, and that's training regarding the composition and responsibilities of the Borough Council, Hawaii Revised Statutes 6E-43, 43.5, 43.6, and Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300. Information and discussion, of course, discussion on the above item. And then it says here the presentation will be by Kupua. Okay. Pulele? Like that, you know. Mahalo. Anybody else, any questions at this time? Then let's learn more about our kuleana and what our responsibilities are. Yeah. Law, did you want to say something first?
Yeah, I guess just so for the sake of making sure we are mindful of Anakala Jimmy's time, I just have one question for Cindy. It would be, and Kalamai, because you guys are going basically teaching us these things today. But as far as agendized items go, under Sunshine Law, agendized items are, you know, that's, you've explained that. Normally with board meetings, there's an opportunity to approve the agenda or otherwise alter it. And I guess with the council, I'm not familiar if that's something that's possible or if council items have to be agendized prior to the meeting and that we cannot, as past meetings start, like today with Anakala Jimmy, we wouldn't add that to the agenda, that we have to postpone it to the next meeting, correct?
That is correct. There are only certain instances that you can amend your agenda with less than 6 days notice. And that would be in cases, instances where the matter is not of, let me go to the language, that it is not of reasonably major importance and doesn't affect a significant number of persons. And for matters that don't affect a significant number of persons or are reasonably major of reasonably major importance, then those matters you could put on the agenda with the less than 6 days notice or amend your agenda. Yes.
Okay. And then from with that being said, because we can't agendize him today, as a council, from what I'm understanding, he's wanting to have discussion with the burial council. I know and understand that we don't actually make those types of, decisions on whether or not he could or could not. So it's not something that we would say, be giving him permission to do. But there's a discussion that he had wanted to happen. So is it violating Sunshine Law if some of us or one of us decides, we want to support him in that or kokua him outside of the burial council meeting and have a conversation with him? Is that something we have to, because of Sunshine Law, we cannot?
Generally, if one or even two of you wanted to have a discussion with him, that would be fine. It's when you have quorum, and you're at a meeting, and actually, I take that back. I take back that when you're at a meeting, even outside of the meeting, you could have a discussion with, say, five of the members and even just the five of you or, four of you, and that would violate Sunshine Law. If you were talking about board business outside of an agenda Sunshine Law meeting, and that falls outside of the exceptions to the Sunshine Law requirement. Yeah, and then I just wanted to add about amending your, or adding an item to your agenda. The other thing that you would need is two-thirds majority of your of the number of members your board is entitled to. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jordan, correct me if I'm wrong, that would be six in this case.
Yes.
Yeah, so you would need six members to vote aye to amending your agenda in order to do so.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Can I just say one more thing? I know it's off and I know we're supposed to have a training, but I feel it's really important that we support our people and they know that they are supported, whether we have paper laws or not. And I feel like in my heart, we have to be flexible. And I would like to know that, I mean, maybe I can't join Jimmy next week when he goes to clean up, but that if I want to, I can. And that we all know that we can support our community, the people that we represent, along with our Evie Kupuna. And so it's upsetting that, you know, our meeting got started this way without a pule first, which always grounds us. And I just want our people to know, our community, that we care about them and we care about our Evie Kupuna. And that I'm sorry that the system isn't functioning in a way that supports you or, you know, other people that may come forward. And I understand there are the paper laws and they are sort of a, you know, shackles on, but I understand that it's a guideline to help us be more functional. But in the same breath, we're still human beings and we're spirit and we have to care for each other, you know, care for those things. So thank you, Nelly, for letting me speak.
Well, always words of wisdom, Kalena. Mahalo nui. Thank you. Always appreciate what you have to say. Mahalo plenty.
Okay, we ready? Let me just share screen. But while I'm doing that, just want to reintroduce myself. I'm Ku'upua. I am a post-JD legal fellow with Kohuliao Center for Excellence in Native Hawaiian Law at the Richardson Law School here at Manoa. Part of my duties as a legal fellow is to go into the SHPTI office and help with any of the rule amendments and providing legal research there. So if you have any questions, so this is actually very helpful for me in my revision process for the historic preservation rules, as well as the burial laws when we get to them. During this presentation, I'm very, very happy that the AGs were able to provide me with this PowerPoint or the two PowerPoints that I'm gonna present to you folks today. I do want to ask that if you have any questions, write them down. And then please hold them till after the presentation is paused to ask our wonderful AG who came by today. And we will get started. Okay, so first we're gonna talk about duties as a council member in general. First major duty is to consult with and make recommendations to the SHPTI regarding the appropriate management, treatment, and protection of Native Hawaiian burial sites and on any other matters relating to Native Hawaiian burial sites. Determine whether previously identified Native Hawaiian burial sites that appear to be over 50 years old should be preserved in place or relocated. Decide whether or not to recognize a claimant to Native Hawaiian burials as cultural or lineal descendant. Assist SHPTI with the inventory and identification of Native Hawaiian burial sites. More administratively, you are to elect a chairperson and a vice chairperson, as well as maintain a list of appropriate Hawaiian organizations, agencies, and offices to notify regarding the discovery of Native Hawaiian burials. So this last part, this maintaining the list that's within the purview of the council, SHPTI can administratively hold the list for you, but it is up to the council to maintain and add to this list. So what is an appropriate Hawaiian organization, agency, or office? The administrative rules define that as a group organized by the council that is comprised of a majority of Hawaiians and has a general understanding of Hawaiian culture, in particular beliefs, customs, and practices relating to the care of ancestral Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, burial goods, and burial sites. There's presently no mechanism in the law for the process of recognizing appropriate Hawaiian organizations. But if you look to the language here of what defines an appropriate Hawaiian organization, it's a group recognized by you, the council. So that there puts that within your purview. For council meetings, all meetings are open to the public and must be conducted under Sunshine Law. Quorum is required to conduct a council meeting. A majority of the members to which each council is entitled constitutes a quorum. The number of votes needed for a council to make a decision at a council meeting is the majority of the members present at that specific meeting. And a council can always close its meeting to the public in order to discuss the location and description of Native Hawaiian burial sites by a concurrence of a majority of the members present at the meeting. So in the event the council deems that the information is too sensitive to be shared at a public meeting, you can always close meeting and go to executive session for that. For example, this would be the disclosure of Mo'opua'o Hall. Okay, I previously identified Native Hawaiian burial site as defined by the rules. A burial site containing human skeletal remains and any burial goods, moipu, identified during an archaeological inventory survey and data recovery of possible burial sites that appear to be over 50 years old, or a burial site known through oral or written testimony to be that of a Native Hawaiian. Burial sites means any specific unmarked location where prehistoric or historic human skeletal remains and their associated moipu, if any, are interred and its immediate surrounding archaeological context. That's important to remember, including any associated surface and subsurface features that are deemed a unique class of historic property that are otherwise not included in the HRIS. So Native Hawaiian burial sites may be identified through oral or written testimony in the following manner. Councils shall evaluate the oral and written testimony presented. Witnesses will provide information including the location and description of the burial site, and then the council will recommend to SHPD whether to accept the testimony presented. It's more nuanced than this in a way, because for an applicant to be, I'm getting ahead of myself there. Okay, council's rule regarding previously identified Native Hawaiian burials. So you would determine lineal descendants, cultural descendants, as well as make that determination to preserve in place or relocate for previously identified. In recognizing lineal and cultural descendants, these are the administrative rules definitions of a cultural and lineal descendant. Lineal means with respect to Native Hawaiian remains or skeletal remains, a claimant who has established to the satisfaction of the council direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. Distinguished from a cultural descendant, which means with respect to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, a claimant recognized by the council after establishing genealogical connections to Native Hawaiian ancestors who once resided or are buried or both in the same ahupua'a or district in which certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains are located or originated from. In determining the validity of a cultural or lineal claim to Native Hawaiian burials, individuals wishing to establish lineal or cultural descent to human skeletal remains must submit a written claim to the department with any of the following information: name of the deceased individual, family mo'opua'o, birth certificates, death certificates, obituaries, marriage certificates, probate records, church records, census records, tax records, land conveyance documents, including but not limited to deeds and LCAs, land commission awards, oral family history, or any other applicable information. So that written claim that comes into SHPD can include every one of these criterion or just one. And then SHPD will provide the council with their written assessment of the information that was submitted by the claimant. And that's what I was talking about when I said I'm getting a little ahead of myself, is that part of your purview as the council with regards to previously identified Native Hawaiian burials is to determine the descendancy. So here you have the final say. And you will also, you notice here that nothing in this list concerns oral testimony as to chanting mo'okuoho, which is something that the councils will accept, right, as testimony for determining lineal cultural descendancy. So like I previously said, the department will preliminarily review all submitted information and assess whether a direct or collateral connection exists between certain Native Hawaiian human skeletal remains and the applicant. And then the department will compare that information submitted for a lineal or cultural claim with records found at appropriate repositories. Those repositories include the State Archives, the Bureau of Conveyance, and the Department of Health. And then the department will provide the council with its written assessment of the information submitted after doing the cross-reference and a recommendation to the council as whether or not the claimant should be recognized as lineal or cultural descendant. But like I said, you folks make the final decision on that. Basis for council recognition of a lineal claim. So Shifty's written assessment of the information submitted by the claimant and Shifty's recommendation that the claimant be recognized as a lineal descendant. So that's the basis for you to make your decision. Why is this important? Because the council shall give preference for proper treatment of previously identified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains and any burial goods known to lineal descendants. And this is the basis for the council's recognition of cultural descendants. Information submitted by the claimant fails to establish lineal descent, but it does establish genealogical connections between that claimant and Native Hawaiian ancestors who once resided or are buried or both in the same ahupua'o or district in which the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains and any moipu are located or originated from. Another basis for the council's recognition of a cultural descendant would be Shifty's recommendation to the council that the claimant be recognized as such. So this is basically to say if the information submitted to Shifty by the claimant fails to establish lineal descent and Shifty does not submit a recommendation to the council that the claimant be recognized as a cultural descendant, then the matter shall be deferred pending submission of additional information by the applicant. This becomes important because testimony by a recognized cultural descendant concerning proper treatment of Native Hawaiian skeletal remains and burial goods shall be duly considered and given appropriate weight by the council. So in determining the preservation or relocation of previously identified Native Hawaiian burials, when determining the appropriate treatment for such, the council must consider all provisions of the burial treatment plan, other written and oral evidence, and assess the credibility of witnesses, cultural appropriateness of the proposal to preserve in place or relocate, possible harm if the burials are left in place, the request of non-lineal or cultural descendants to relocate, any reason presented by the applicant to relocate, and preservation criteria established in state law and other relevant factors concerning appropriate treatment. The burial treatment plan is just the plan that meets all necessary requirements set forth in this chapter and proposes treatment of burial sites, including preservation in place or relocation, that's then submitted to Shifty or the council, whichever is appropriate for that determination. Priority in determining the preservation or relocation of previously identified Native Hawaiian burials. So the councils must give greater consideration for preservation place for burial sites in areas containing any of the following: concentration of skeletal remains of prehistoric or historic burials associated with important individuals and events, a context of historic properties, lineal descendants request preservation place, or the landowner agrees. Currently, the rules do not have a definition for concentration in terms of what that means for skeletal remains. So burial treatment plan process for previously identified Native Hawaiian burials. First, the applicant's gonna consult with the Shifty in the development of the BTP. Once that's approved by Shifty, it's then given to the council and placed on the agenda for determination of burial site treatment. The council can then make a request to attend a site visit. The applicant may, prior to referral to the council for determination, give an informal presentation to the council. The applicant may also revise or withdraw the burial treatment plan prior to determination by the council. An example of this was the Brescia case on Kauai. There, Brescia purchased a subdivision, or sorry, a plot within the Wainiha subdivision to build a single family home. During the AIS process, they found 30 different sets of Native Hawaiian burials. During that time, the applicant, Brescia, made a burial treatment plan to submit to the council. Prior to the council rendering a decision, but during their deliberation, he did withdraw and revise the burial treatment plan to resubmit to the council. So it's during that deliberation period that the applicant can revise. And then it's important to note that the council must weigh and consider the burial treatment plan submitted when determining whether to preserve in place or relocate those previously identified Native Hawaiian burials. So some requirements, the applicant, So the applicant must submit a request to preserve in place or relocate to SHPDI in the form of a burial treatment plan. So that's the big crux of what the BTP is the applicant's request to for either decision. So in doing so, they must include in their burial treatment plan a statement of preservation in place or relocation for all burial sites. Evidence of a good faith search for lineal and cultural descendants, names and the respective positions regarding the burial site treatment of any known lineal or cultural descendants recommended by SHPDI and recognized by the council, and a description of proposed treatment of all burial sites, including a statement of preservation in place or relocation. More requirements, they must also include maps that clearly indicate the location of all of the identified Native Hawaiian burial sites on property, including, when applicable, the scale map of spatial relationship between Native Hawaiian burial sites and any proposed construction activities. And another example of that is from the Brescia case, there were 7 of the 30 EV that were found were directly within the scope of construction that would be directly under the house. So that's something that you would consider. Additional requirements include an applicant's name and mailing address. This can be the landowner's name and mailing address as well, or you must include that as well if it's different from the applicant. The property's TMK, including Ahupua'a district and island, and the present condition description of all previously identified Native Hawaiian burial sites at the property. Also must include any project plans requested by the council, including construction and grading plans. A copy of the archaeological inventory survey report were requested by the council. So they don't have to include that unless the council explicitly requests that. Also where applicable is proof that archaeological inventory survey report was accepted by DLNR, any additional archaeological inventory level testing reports recommended by the council, reviewed and approved by the SHPDI. So that would be the additional information if you had requested it previously. Any other information the council deems necessary to make a fully informed determination. All council requests for additional information shall be done in a timely manner. But as you can see, the burial treatment plan is extremely thorough and involves a lot of research and documentation. And there's points along the way for the council to request additional information so that you can make the most fully informed decision to preserve in place or relocate. So when an applicant proposes to preserve in place, the burial treatment plan has to contain statements that describe short-term measures to immediately protect all burial sites that include fencing, buffers, and site restoration. And it has to also include the long-term measures to manage and protect all burial sites, including buffers, landscaping, and access by known lineal and cultural descendants. When the applicant proposes to relocate the EV, the burial treatment plan has to contain statements that describe reasons for relocation, the methods that are going to be used to conduct the disinterment, and if the burials are not going to be immediately reburied after disinterment, then the location and curation of the EV and the moi pool. The proposed reburial site, as agreed on by the landowner and any recognized lineal descendant. So there's an agreement that has to be made in order for this to go through. The manner of preparation of the reburial site is important to know. And then again, like a burial treatment plan where the applicant is proposing preservation in place, this burial treatment plan where the applicant proposes relocation must also include those short-term and long-term measures to protect the reburial site. So the timeline for making determination for preservation, place, or relocation. All those decisions must be rendered within 45 days of referral by the department unless otherwise extended by agreement between the landowner and the department. Referral means the first date the council officially convenes following the department's acceptance of a complete or revised burial plan, the department's receipt of a written request to be placed on the council agenda for determination of a burial site treatment, placement of the matter on the council agenda, and posting of a notice of council meeting agenda with the Lieutenant Governor's office. So say all of this is happening right now in the month of September, and you folks received SHPD's acceptance of the completed or revised burial treatment plan. SHPD received the written request to be placed on your folks' agenda, your folks' October agenda, and then it was placed on your agenda and posted notice, and notice was posted with the Lieutenant Governor's office. So say all of that happens and your meeting is on October 15th. October 15th would be the first day of your 45 days for the referral process. So after you folks make a determination to preserve in place, the applicant must then develop the burial site component of a preservation plan. And that has to include a description of short-term measures to protect the burial sites, description of long-term measures to protect, manage, and provide access to the burial sites, as well as appropriate treatment of the burials. SHPD will then approve the preservation plan following consultation with the applicant, lineal descendants, council, and any appropriate Native Hawaiian organizations within 90 days of council determination. So this ties back into one of the duties you folks have as a council, which is to maintain that list of appropriate Native Hawaiian organizations. That becomes very important here, where the SHPD must consult with the applicant, lineal descendants, you folks, as well as those NHOs. So by maintaining that list and creating a list of appropriate Native Hawaiian organizations, you thereby strengthen the amount of people or strengthen the consultation process for this kind of project. So if you are making a determination to relocate, then the applicant must develop the burial site component of an archaeological data recovery plan. So whereas the decision to preserve in place, the applicant would develop the burial site component of a preservation plan, here it would become the burial site component of an archaeological data recovery plan. And it also has to include the reasons for relocation, methods to be used for the disinterment, location of where the remains will be curated, proposed reburial site location, the manner in which the reburial site will be prepared, and then again, the short-term measures to protect the reburial site and the long-term measures to protect and manage the site as well as provide access to it. The SHPD will then approve the archaeological data recovery plan following again the consultation with the applicant, any known lineal descendants, the council, and the appropriate NHOs within 90 days of council determination. The decision by the council may be appealed. SHPD will notify the applicant within 10 business days of the council determination. The applicant at that time may request reconsideration by writing within 10 business days following receipt of written notice of the council determination for the department. So requests for reconsideration shall be granted only on the basis of newly discovered information that was not available at the time the council determined burial site treatment. Appeals are heard as contested cases before a panel composed of three council chairs, three land board members, and a presiding officer who is the chair of BLNR. And members of the appeal panel may examine and cross-examine witnesses. So the council's role in inadvertent Native Hawaiian burials. The council will consult with SHPD on burial site component of the preservation plan. You will consult the SHPD on burial site component of the archaeological data recovery plan. We briefly talked about the difference of these two in terms of preservation in place and relocating. Oops, sorry. So the SHPD has jurisdiction over any inadvertent discovery of human skeletal remains and any burial goods over 50 years old, regardless of ethnicity, which puts you folks in the consultation position here. Inadvertent discovery is the unanticipated finding of human skeletal remains or any burial goods resulting from unintentional disturbance, erosion, or other ground-disturbing activities. So privacy and burial council recordings, the department records relating to the location and description of historic sites, including burial sites, if deemed sensitive by council or the Hawaiian or the Hawaii Historic Places Review Board, shall be confidential. And I will stop sharing in case you folks have any questions for the AG, and I will set up the next PowerPoint.
I have a question. My question is there an audit provision for compliance for any of the language that you spoke to for our burial? And if not, why not? Thank you.
I'll take a stab at answering that. There is no audit provision, as far as I can understand what your question is. As to why, I guess it depends on what kind of provision you're thinking there should be. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you want amendments to the burial, either the rules or the statute, then that's up to, in the case of the statute, it would be the legislature. And with respect to your rules, ultimately it would be up to the Board of Land and Natural Resources.
I think, Councillor, with all respect, what I'm getting at is that the decisions arrived to with, say, a landowner, a complaint coming from a linear or cultural descendant, and the review of the burial council, that certain agreements come to be. But there's no audit provision in my time on this council that I saw to ensure that that would happen. And therein, the issue of negligence would be proven. And under the law, there should be some type of adjudication to that. If we're looking at these revised statutes, which the fundamental question is, why were these things even revised to begin with? So as we take into consideration the expansion of the population, the shortage of land, we know we're going to run into these problems. But we need something stronger than just the language of a revised statute. We need some type of audit to ensure that this is happening and not come 40, 50 years later to find out, oh yeah, the landowner didn't take care of the property like he was supposed to, or blah, 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 just compounding the problem for future generations. So if our time is valuable, as I'm led to believe, that what we accomplish here today should set a precedent for those that would come after us and not have to repeat the same old situation over and over. So I would just argue that we would need some type of audit provision, some sort of audit provision. Whether or not anything comes from that, at least we would be able to determine who's negligent in this process. And that's all I'm suggesting. Thank you.
I think also, if I'm understanding correctly, I think when you're saying audit, it sounds more like enforcement. And enforcement is a question that comes up with many of the burial councils. And it is complex. It is really fact specific. So there's not really any, there's certain enforcement provisions in 6E. But really, enforcement is dependent on the facts of that case and has, one of those statutory provisions been violated? And is there evidence of that violation?
Yes, exactly. That's why the audit would prove the facts to support the allegation, either for or against the issue. But without an audit, these facts end up just being passed from one administration to the next, and then 40, 50 years later, we're reviewing something that should have been nipped in the bud, decades ago. And if that were true, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems that we're hearing now. So speaking to just reducing this thing to the lowest common denominator, if we have an audit provision, nothing has to happen from that audit initially, but we at least have a place to make our argument. Were these conditions as we were led to believe true or not? So that we would improve our process moving forward. So if it's a suggestion that's made today, that just people just can't wrap their head around, and maybe 20 years from now they will, we can make these corrections. But just going in on the trust and the hope that, you know, the doctrine of happily ever after, oh yeah, it's all going to be good, that's not been my experience sitting on this council. I'm not seeing anything come before us that happened previously that was contiguously correct. There's always some distortion to something. So I think the audit provision ensures that whatever we're saying today, that there's a continuum by agreement that we're moving forward and we're all in the same boat together rather than being adversarial at that. So thank you, Council.
And maybe just as a suggestion, it might be helpful if the council hears from maybe Hinano or Jordan as to kind of, you know, enforcement efforts in a very, very general sense of what types of enforcement, you know, aspects they may have.
Yeah, my position is if you do it right, you don't have to enforce anything. We're all in agreement. We agree to do what we say we're going to do. So the enforcement comes because someone has not performed as we were led to believe. So we can mitigate the enforcement by simply working peacefully and cooperatively with one another from the get-go.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Kupua. Yeah, I'd like to make a suggestion on how you run this class, only because reading every single one of these PowerPoints I already read, you know, and I had questions all along the way. So anyway, I just thought it would be more helpful if we did do this training again, if we could ask questions on each PowerPoint. But I have questions right at the beginning. You know, your duties as a council member, the very first one, consult with and make recommendations to shipping regarding and appropriate management. Management, does that include like how Shipti fills the vacancies? You're muted.
Sorry, yeah. Vacancies on the councils, you mean? Like if you folks have any contribution to the list that the governor...
No. I mean like a deadline. Like, say right now, we just got 8 members. We've never had more than 7 for years. So is there a deadline or is that part of our responsibilities of management, appropriate management, by suggesting to Shipti that you should have a deadline of when somebody vacates or if there is a vacancy of filling that spot? Because these things can go on forever and we're always short. So and that's not a problem. The problem is we short, but the quorum is still set at that number, at 9, when we only have 7 sometimes. So, you know, it's hard to get on quorum, for us, because Big Island is real active, but for other councils, burial councils, they cancel all the time because they don't have quorum. So that's my question of just, is that an appropriate, you know, management suggestion to Shipti by asking them to at least have some kind of deadline to fill these slots?
I think that's absolutely a reasonable recommendation and something that you should most definitely be putting on the record in this meeting, mainly because that's an administrative rule change. Right now, the rules provide what quorum is in the specific numbers for each island. So that would have to be a rule amendment, which I'm working on. So that's a great suggestion. Mahalo for that. That's something that I definitely need to address in the rules. And stating that on the record at the meeting is great so that we keep having a record of this. And so you doing that right now like this is perfect. And I know that doesn't mean you get an immediate result, but at least it's on my radar now and on Shipti's radar. Mahalo.
Yeah, and I have another question. Your duties, the first one, your duties as a council member, where's the BTP on this? Where is our responsibility or kuleana with the burial treatment plan? I would think that should be right in this list. Well, how come it's not in there?
You know,
on the very first square.
That one? Let me get up to that.
If I could, I think that when it says consult with and make recommendations to SHPD for the appropriate management, treatment, and protection, I'm looking at the word treatment and I'm already thinking it's talking about Native Hawaiian burial sites. So when it says consultation for recommendations on treatment of Native Hawaiian burial sites, I think that it's not verbatim, but I was interpreting that as burial treatment plans. They do consultation and we provide recommendations. So I think it is that first bullet, but it's just amalgamated, like all of it's kind of tossed into one.
Well, I think they should at least put in BTP in there so there's no confusion.
Yeah.
You know, I know what it suggests, you know, and I figured that's what it means, but, you know, I think it'd be better if you put in this square, this PowerPoint, just the BTP part. At least pointing towards it. And I have another question. That's why I wonder if I ask you questions all along the way, but you know, we was on a roll, but I guess the PowerPoint number 11, basis for council's recognition of lineal claim. You got that one, Kupua?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So one of the main problems we ran into was applicants applying for like lineal. They don't meet all the requirements. So what Shifty was doing was recommending or deferring them or accepting them as cultural because they had it, but the guy was complaining, or the people were complaining that, wait, I never applied for cultural. So I would think it'd be better and benefit the SHPD if they just deny, if the guy doesn't qualify for lineal, he should be denied that thing and suggest to apply again as cultural. But when you guys recommend or give him cultural when he didn't, that's when we ran into some pretty heavy problems, you know, people getting what they didn't want and wondering why. So that's just another question of the lineal and the cultural descendant part.
I have a question for that, I'll go real fast. If those applicants who applied for lineal cultural descendancy, but then were rejected or recommended by the SHPD to be recognized as a cultural descendant, would they have rather not be recognized as such? They don't want to be recognized as cultural descendant.
Well, yeah, well, they're debating that they never applied for cultural. Right. You know, so I would think if we follow the procedures, they should be, you know, if they don't qualify, they should be denied as lineal and give them, an opportunity to come back and apply as cultural instead of you giving them the cultural. That was just some problems that we ran into with that point of applying for one and getting the other, you know, and when they don't get anything, then they want the cultural, but. You know, that's where we had arguments and long discussions on that item. So okay. I just want to bring that up.
Yeah. I want to flesh that out more and address it. So I want to ask, I think this is more a question for Hinano. When SHPD makes a recommendation to the councils for a cultural descendant or for that applicant to be recognized as a cultural descendant rather than a lineal, is the council notified of that decision or they just see it as a cultural descendant application?
You asking me?
Yeah, no, I'm asking Hinano, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if the applicant comes in or applies to SHPD to be recognized as a lineal descendant, SHPD decides that they don't meet that threshold and recommends the council recognize that person as a cultural descendant, does the council see that determination by SHPD or are they only shown that the applicant should be recommended by the SHPD as a cultural descendant?
You're on mute.
Sorry, Hinani.
Hinani, you're muted.
You're on mute.
Okay. So when a person applies for lineal and then we feel that the person doesn't qualify for lineal, I think under the rules, it says that we should recommend that they be recognized as cultural. At that And we say that in the letter of recommendation. So the letter of recommendation that goes to the council will say that we don't have enough evidence. It can be recognized as cultural. Always keep in mind that they can always come back and be recognized as lineal with further evidence. But I get what Scott is saying, that maybe perhaps we should deny the outright deny the lineal. That's a possibility, but we prefer, well, the rules say we should go to cultural, yeah? But again, you know what the borough council needs to understand is that they can overrule us and they can come up with what they think that they have enough evidence to recognize this person as lineal over us.
Okay. Mahalo for that confirmation. So that's part of the whole additional information that could come to the councils. Nobody comes to Shipti and chants to us, then wo'okuoho. They can come to these council meetings and do that. We have recognized case law on kama'aina testimony. You folks are the experts more so than us in what recognizing lineal and cultural descendants looks like for your island. So like Hinano said, you can always make a determination that doesn't coincide with what the Shipti's recommendation was.
Scott, did you have any other questions?
No. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kupu.
Mahalo. I'm so sorry. If I have all day with you folks, I will let you go slide for slide with me, uncle, and give me all the questions.
No. I just had some questions. Thanks.
Mahalo. I will put us on the next slideshow.
Hold on, just make Kupua. Hold on, just a minute, please. Any other council members? Any other questions with regards to this the PowerPoint presentation we just bore witness to? Anybody? A few things, takeaways that definitely helped with me. For a few of them, I'm going to just mention is one, the one that says assist SHBD with the inventory and the identification of Native Hawaiian burial sites. I found that to be very, very interesting. Of course, also creating and recognizing our own NHOs, Native Hawaiian organizations, as a council. That's something that actually we've never done before. And so that was very enlightening as well. I also thought it was interesting that cultural descendant, I always thought that they just had to live within the aupua'a of that borough, but we, according to the rules, it even means the district. So that expands the scope of that, which is nice to a degree. Okay. And also, I do like the idea that we get the final determination on the descendancy, as was just mentioned, which helps a lot. I definitely appreciate the recommendation. Appreciate the recommendation by State Historic Preservation Division, but having that ability to make that final determination is definitely appreciated. It did concern me, though, that there was no definition, for example, what is a concentration of burials? You know, what does that mean? Two, three, four, or more, two or more. I do like the idea, of course, that we can request the different documents that we're going to need to make sure the burial treatment plan is back, or at least as much information we can, so we can make the best decision possible as a borough council member. And of course, just maintaining a list of our own NHOs for future consultation. I found those all to be quite interesting, and thank you very much for that information. Mahalo. La?
I actually do have one question. I'd really like to clarify for the recognition of cultural and lineal descendants. Is it district or is it ahupua? I mean, if it's ahupua, as in, you know, o'oma in kona, the ahupua of o'oma, or can somebody apply for kona, north kona, south kona, South Kohala? That's something that we've been given a little bit. It's kind of like a back and forth. And I want a clear and concise response. Hopefully you can give one to me from Shipti on if you're looking at applications and a descendant is applying for cultural recognition of Kona Akau or Kona Hema or, you know, Hamakua or something, and not an Ahupua'a specific. How does that work when you know, they're applying for Ho'okena, there's a burial site, but they're showing connections to South Kona, not specifically all the way down into Ho'okena saying my ohana lived and were buried in this, you know, in this agua, but that they were in the surrounding area. What is the actual, you know, because it says district in what is it, HARS, it says district, but and ahupua'a or, you know, whatever, but can we clarify that?
I'll take a stab at it and I'll let everybody else jump in. So at this point in time, we feel that the word district is the English word for ahupua'a. Now those of us who can speak Hawaiian know that we've always seen the word district as meaning moku. But the question is not what do we think, but rather what did the legislature think when they wrote the rule? We believe that if they meant district to mean moku, they would have said moku or district, but they said ahupua'a or district. So the question is, was the intent to use the word district a English translation of ahupua'a in as much as it might have been a weak one? We think it is. So we think ahupua'a and district are synonymous.
Well, mahalo for Shifty's interpretation of that. Thank you, Hinano. But I'd rather have more clarification on that, actually, just to make sure I can understand where Shifty's definitely coming from. Because sometimes the legislative documents I've seen the word district and moku, and sometimes it means it's the same thing. So just to get clarification, just so we know for sure. Yeah, would be nice to know. Yeah. But I agree, they should be, if they could use ahupua'a, they should use moku as well. Why not use our language? I would agree with that. But if we get clarification on that, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Anything else, folks, with regards to this last presentation we witnessed? Anybody? Questions? Okay, then Kupua, I think we can go to the next one then. Thank you, Kupua. Mahalo nui for your patience.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Here we go. Okay, everybody can see this. This one is pretty, it's only 20 slides long. So if this one you guys want to stop in the middle and take questions whenever, can. Okay, this, right now we're doing composition of the burial councils. So HRS section 6E-43.5A tells us about the creation of the burial councils, the appointment, composition, and duties. So there are five burial councils established. Hawaii, Maui, Lanai takes one, Molokai, Oahu, and then Kauai, Niihau take another. Each council, this is the contentious point about the quorum, is that each council has to consist of 9 members, except for Molokai Council, which shall have 5 members. This is the administrative rule change that we were talking about, Uncle Scott, about adding language to this for the vacancy positions to be filled within a certain time frame, as well as looking at this quorum number. So each council shall consist of no more than 3 representatives of development and large landowner interests, and the remaining council members shall represent identified geographic regions. Because Molokai Council is smaller, they can have no more than 1 such representative for the large landowner interest or development. So each council shall have at least 1 representative for each of the geographic regions. So for your folks council, you would have Kohala, Kona, Ko'u, Puna, Hilo, and Hamakua. At all times, at least two regional representatives of each council shall have been appointed from a list of nominees submitted to the governor by OHA. Appointments of members to the council shall be made by the governor in accordance with HRS section 26-34 from lists for each council submitted by the department and OHA. What this means is that, as it's very clearly stated in the first sentence, at least two members of each council must be appointed by OHA from a list cultivated by OHA submitted to the governor. All the other appointment of members to the council have to be made by the governor from lists for each council submitted again by SHPTI and OHA. So two representatives from OHA's list, the rest come from SHPTI OHA lists. So regional representatives shall be selected from the Hawaiian community on the basis of their understanding of the culture, history, burial beliefs, customs, and practices of Native Hawaiians in the region that they each represent. So this becomes very critical for Hawaii because each island is very different. Customs can be different, even just ranging from moku to moku, ahupua to ahupua. I know that there are certain hanai practices that happen in certain areas of Puna that are not practiced elsewhere at all. So things like that, where the regional representative should be representative of that. So the department, in consultation with the councils or her representatives of development and large landowner interests and appropriate Hawaiian organizations, Hoi Malama I na Kupuna Hawaiʻine is now defunct, so that needs to be taken out of the language here. But organizations such as that one that were dedicated to Ivi shall adopt rules pursuant to Chapter 91 necessary to carry out the purposes of this section. The council members shall serve without compensation, but shall be reimbursed for necessary expenses incurred during the performance of their duties, including air and ground transportation, parking expenses, things like that. The council shall be a part of the department for administrative purposes, meaning that SHPTI will house the department, or sorry, SHPTI will house the council's administrative name under the SHPTI umbrella. So council members shall not be allowed to simultaneously serve on another state board or commission. This would include, an example of that is like the Water Commission. So the councils will hold meetings and acquire information as they deem necessary and communicate their findings and recommendations to the department. So that is very broad and vague, right? You can communicate your findings and recommendations to the department. Just keep that in mind. So quorum is a majority of all members to which each council is entitled shall constitute a quorum to do business. And concurrence of a majority of the members present at a meeting shall be necessary to make any action of a council valid. Excuse me. So for basically every burial council, aside from Molokai, quorum is 5 members. Molokai would be 3. And that 5 member requirement is goes hand in hand with the 9-person board or 9-person council. So development and large property owner representatives must meet the following criteria. They must currently be employed by or associated with either a developer who conducts large scale land development activities or a large property owner who owns or leases at least 100 acres of land on the respective island. Must represent the interests of development or large property owners or both and not simultaneously serve on another state board or commission. The department shall request developers and large property owners to submit the names of candidates for consideration, along with statements demonstrating that the candidate meets the criteria stated here. So each member shall serve the length of term assigned by the governor, subject to the advice and consent of the Senate upon nomination, and any removal or suspension per HRS section 26-34. A full term is 4 years, commencing July 1st and expiring June 30th. no person shall be appointed consecutively to more than two terms as a member of the same council, provided that membership shall not exceed 8 consecutive years. So say you serve a full term for 4 years, you would come off for 1 year, and then you could come back onto the council after that 1 year break. So removal or suspension of a member from the council may occur for any of the following reasons: health concerns, failure to carry out duties and responsibilities as provided in chapter 13-300 of the Hawaii Administrative Rules, unexcused absences from 3 consecutive council meetings, or the appointment to another state board or commission. So this is, it's important to show that this is may. So even if you have an unexcused absence from 3 consecutive council meetings, unless your council decides that you are no longer fit to serve on the council, you can still carry on. Oh, and that's the end of our slideshow.
Questions, anybody? Questions? Kupu, Kalana, go ahead. Kalamai.
I don't really have any questions about your presentation, Kupu. I was just thinking for our training for us, it would be if we could generate a list of examples and things that we've had to encounter or things that we're concerned about, because primarily that's what gets us all going and excited and agitated is feeling powerless and having this kuleana to do something, but there's not accountability and there's not a clear cut. Everything seems very clinical and sort of linear. And I know that that's the work that we do isn't that way. And it would be great for us, because I know we've had a few trainings now. We had one where Malia Akuragawa came with, and I think I saw you there, you might have that one. And Kai Markell came, and Kai shared a lot of, maybe that was, might have been a different time, a lot of his experiences. And so I think we all can learn too from examples and experiences and why did this happen, or hey, we had this happen, and how should we resolve it, so that I know we're not the only council in our archipelago that experiences what we go through, but for me, I just would feel more empowered if we could address the real things that happen in our meeting with the real people and the issues like Scott was talking about, problems we had big time with a lineal, a descendant wanting lineal, and we just got battered and hammered and they were very upset. So just anyway, I appreciate you guys. I totally appreciate today. Also, I want to advance, like, I hope that we can have a training that we design for with our questions and our concerns so that we can be empowered to do a better job. That's all. Thank you.
Mahalo nui no ke for that mana'o. I would love to do that. I totally believe live action training is great. And if you folks have those real life examples and you want to have Uncle Nale shoot them to me, just all in one email would be great so that I can look at those and like I can figure out a way to address them. I do still work with Malia. I help her with her historic preservation law class at the university. So she's actually having me build a whole PowerPoint right now of case law that of other past experiences with SHPD, with historic preservation law in Hawaii. So having those real life concerns and current ones would be really fabulous for me to add in here. And then once it's complete, I'd be more than happy to come back to another meeting and present for you folks again.
Especially if you're gonna be doing any amendments and going to LEDGE, because we have realized that that's our big problem is everything that we want, we don't have, it's not written yet. And so if you're that conduit who's gonna make that happen, you are definitely the person we work with. So yeah, we gotta follow up with that and send our list to you, Nale, and then you can forward it to Kupua.
Yes, that'd be great. I would love to talk to you folks, especially as we move closer to the burial law revisions. Mahalo nui.
And I did send a tentative list, or at least we talked about it in terms of, and lineal cultural descendancy was one of those things. Inadvertence was another one. Talking about burial treatment plans. So many of the things that do come up our meetings, Kalena, was at least mentioned. Knowing that Kupua was working on another PowerPoint as well. And of course, I know in one of our meetings, we mentioned that we were going to have a training. We would like at least to look at some case law, because I do appreciate the effort that was done today. By no means, I mean, I'm very appreciative. However, no offense to anybody, I could have just busted out my black folder and read them. You know, I carry them with me all the time, just FYI. Yeah. But at least it gave us a chance to come together as a group, see what, again, with the rules and regulations and what the council make up, and at least ask questions here in a bigger forum. At least start that process at least, yeah? And I mahalo everybody for that. And thank you very much for sharing what everybody has so far. Kupua, is there anything else you want to mention at this time with regards to the presentations?
No, I'm actually just reviewing this other case law presentation right now, if there's anything I can just show you today, but...
Does just a quick question for example, does NAFTA kick in any of this stuff that we looked at today with NAFTA? Is that have any concern? Not really, huh?
No.
Okay. Just want to make sure in case that comes up. God. Right, trying to do two jobs at one time is very interesting. Gotta get done. Okay, any other questions, folks, with regards to this present presentation or the one, again, we just witnessed a little earlier? Anybody? Questions? Wow, kahulu, kahulu ke iya. Ay, polole, maika nene kera. Sorry, talking to the baby, kalamai. Okay. Any more questions, anybody? Council members, anybody? You know, anything else you'd like to address us with today or Kia?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Nale, so just a few words. I think it's great what Kalena said and the issues that you brought up with respect to maybe having further training. And the reason why I say that is from my own perspective, and my own perspective is we know what the laws are. The trick is applying the laws. And so you guys are asking for specific cases in applying the laws. And I think that's where the law becomes, or the law and training becomes more meaningful, is when we apply the law. And I know you guys have had challenges in applying the law. So I think that is a great idea. To have more training with respect to applying specific cases for discussion. So great.
I even think a document, you know, that to be produced from the outcome of those kinds of trainings and discussions would be so helpful for us, you know, for your late night reading pleasure of, you know, oh, wow, this happened, that happened, and include all the islands so we can see what everybody's going through and what their think tank came to in their conclusions of how to handle something. I think it would just give us a lot more experiences to add to our toolbox for doing good work.
Well, mahalo for that, sharing that information with Hinano. As an educator, I know yourself, you are an educator as well. It is important to have constant workshops, yeah? Constantly revamping our strategies, our pedagogy, yeah? So we know what's going on. And even though, again, this council is a very important council, dealing with the Ivivar Kupuna and our Lino cultural descendants, so therefore, continuous workshops would be quite beneficial, I also feel. Quarterly, monthly, at least quarterly for sure, because we know we have a lot of our agendas as well most times. So we're just very blessed this month not to have as many agendized items as usual. But again, we want to thank everybody, and also want to thank the Attorney General's office. Thank you very much. Cindy, for being here today, and Lauren as well, and being here to answer any questions that may have arisen during the PowerPoint presentations, but more importantly, just being available, especially more often at our meetings. Truly appreciate that. That's been very, very helpful. Very, very helpful, no doubt about that. Especially for some points of clarification. But mahalo nui. Mahalo nui. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Anything else right now?
Yes, I do have an announcement. If we're done with the business section, I didn't know if you were just going to close the meeting after this, but I do have a small announcement that I was told to inform you guys about. Uncle Norman is going through some issues right now, so he may not be able to make the next couple of meetings, and he did want me to let you guys know.
Mahalo for informing us. I was concerned about that because usually Uncle Norman's always here, and not seeing his face, that did bring up a concern in my mind for sure. My now for sure. Yeah, because he's always there, and he is missed. But as far as we know, everything's okay.
We spoke to him, but I can give you a call later and talk to you more a little bit about what's going on.
Okay, we'll all be sending our pulley his way. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good guidance. Okay.
You're muted, Uncle.
Nale, you're muted.
Thank you, but you think after doing Zoom for a whole year and a half as an educator, I've got this down already, you know? But anyway, mahalo nui. Thank you a lot. Again, if there's nothing else, then we're going to go into the last agenda item, which is announcements. And of course, our next meeting, HIBC meeting, is scheduled for Thursday, October 14th at 9:30 a.m. And I presume that's 1 week earlier, correct, Kia?
Yeah, so this one is actually the second Thursday of October.
And based on the emails that I saw sent in so far, it seems like most people were able to make it. It seems like, yeah, that October 14th meeting.
Yeah. It seems like everybody was okay with that response.
Right. Yeah. Fully. I know when Kiara asked for a response to the meeting for this month, he asked about October already as well, and it looked good. Okay. If nothing else, then folks, if I could have a motion to adjourn today's meeting, and then of course, before we adjourn, I would also like to ask Uncle Desmond, if you don't mind, again, sending us on a good note, asking our ancestors to guide us throughout the rest of this month, please. And Uncle Desmond, good to see you, Uncle Desmond. Glad you could make it. Mahalo.
Yeah, puna disparities. So I won't go into detail. That's Kalena's work. That's Kalena's kulia. I move to close to adjourn this meeting.
We have a motion, second. So the motion by Uncle Desmond, a second by Kalena to adjourn this meeting of September 16th, 2021. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye. All right.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Okay, the ayes have it. So again, please take care of yourselves, take care of your health, take care of your families, please, until we see each other again next month, October 14th. Mahalo nui loa for everything, everybody. And Uncle Desmond, again, if you can ask the ancestors for guidance throughout the next month, we truly appreciate it. Mahalo.
Yeah, if Kea could update us with Uncle Norman and his progress, if he needs any help with anything, I'm more than willing to kukua, especially with what's going on in the world today, especially for our loved ones. It's mask up, and it's ikahi, it's love one another. I think it's appropriate that we bless our aina, ask our aina to bless us and keep us safe. E puli kako. E ke akua, he puli ia o holoi ana I ka poino o ka aina. A me ka pale ai I pau o ka aina haumia. He puli ia e ho o pau ana I na hewa o ka aina a pau. I pau ke a e me ka kawau. Kawau I pau ke kuulo pia. A me ka pelu muka. I pau a pule a lana. A leila noho
peku. O emu.
O I kala. Malapake. Ka mauli ho I ke a kua. Mahalo ke a kua. A me tine a kua. Me amakua. Amene. Amene. Amene.
Mahalo. Mahalo.
Aui ho.
Aui ho, everybody.
E mahalo mapono kako. Aloha.
Aloha, everybody. Take care. Be safe.